Got it?
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are sovereign over all. Yes, I just God. Want to take a moment just to bless your name. Mm-hmm. And to thank you for this day and for all that you've allowed to happen in it. Mm-hmm. As crazy as it has been at times. I do thank you, Lord, for all that you bring our way. Mm-hmm. I thank you because it grows us up. And I pray, Lord, that as we discuss your word this evening, that you would guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit. And as we speak, Lord, that you would confirm or adjust our thinking to line up with your your word, the way you intended it to be taken, Father. And I ask that you'd be with us, and if there's anyone else on the way, that you'd get them here safely, yes, Lord. Father. And I do thank you for this Bible study and this time in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Well, that's good.
All right. Now, I've already heard that it was a particularly timely study for one lady. What is the topic? Can anybody come up with it? What do you got, Pat?
Snare.
Snare. Mm-hmm. Snare. That's right, snare. And it is used in Scripture 51 times.
Whoa.
In this 1984 version of the New International Version. Who knows? Maybe by September we'll have to make the change. 50 times in the Old Testament. If you'll notice, the study was very heavily tilted toward the Old Testament. It's used 50 times in the Old Testament. It's only used once in the New. Interesting, huh?
That's interesting.
All right. Well, let's start today. Jean, would you start us in the first row, please? And I've got a dry erase board here. Well, actually, a newsprint poster, because I want to do something in writing today.
I had to, when I saw the board up, I had to think, we're not doing any of Paul's writings.
Oh, you mean because we always have a chart when we talk about Paul?
Always. Yes.
Well, it's kind of interesting how some of these things fell together. It's not 100%, but it helped with my thinking, so I thought I'd share it.
Good. Okay, Exodus 10:7. Pharaoh's official said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?" So here we're talking about that Moses is a snare to the Egyptians. Mm. At least that's what the officials think.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that Egypt is already ruined. And it was amazing the Pharaoh's officials saw this one. But Moses, God is using to... to basically lay in place God's plan to get God's people out of there. The Egyptians will suffer for the slavery of the...
Good, good. What's the context of this statement? I wanted to make a big, long reference, but I figured you'd guess pretty quickly. What's the context of it?
Well, this is during the...
I know.
The word's gone. The word's gone. Yeah. This is where the plagues were hitting Egypt. And so the Lord kept hardening Pharaoh's heart, and he kept dishing out more plagues, hardening Pharaoh's heart.
So it's in the middle. It's not right at the beginning. It's not right at the end. And notice, Moses is only asking that they can go out and worship God. That's all he's asking right there, right? So what I've decided, or how I worked it out on my paper and thought it might be helpful, was to put down what the snare is. What's the snare here?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Moses.
Jean said, yes, that's right. Moses. Moses is the snare. So there's a man who's a snare. Okay, so he's the snare, but what would be the way to get out of it? And I'm just going to do a slash mark. So I've got Moses, and then after Moses' name, a slash mark. What would be the way to get out of the snare? Moses is the snare. How could you get neutralize the snare? What was needed here? What does it say?
Obedience to God.
Let him go.
Well, who's in the snare?
Pharaoh and the Egyptians
are in the snare. So what's the way to get rid of it?
They need to let the Israelites go.
Yeah, they have to release the Israelites. Okay, so I'm just going to put that on the other side of the, to release God's people. Right?
Okay.
Interesting in that sense. We might say they were in the snare, wouldn't we?
Mm.
Okay. To release God's people to worship. Now, you don't have to write all those words down. And as we go along, you may find flaws in my process, and that's all right. And what's the result? What do they say is the result here?
Egypt is ruined.
Okay, ruined, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just put that over top. Because that's the result of the snare. It's going to lead to ruin. Not Moses, but the snare. Okay. Just an interesting way to look at it. I'm sure all of you gathered lots of things in your study. But that's the way we'll kind of keep track. All right. Go ahead, Jean.
So, Exodus 23:33. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me, because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. Now, they're talking about the people that are living in Canaan, mm-hmm. the land that the Lord has given to the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And their gods, the worship of their gods, will be a snare.
Okay. So now if we do our little chart, in the next place, worship of idols.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, you could just write idolatry. Huh. So idolatry is a snare, or idol worship is a snare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely.
And? So how do you get rid of that snare?
Well, by being obedient. Don't let them live in the land.
Mm-hmm.
So, which she didn't want them to anyway.
Okay. So we have to avoid, I'm going to just put them, is that okay, to neutralize mm-hmm. the snare? Mm-hmm. Whoever the idolaters are here,
mm-hmm.
I avoid, and I'm just going to put quotation marks around it, them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and here, what's the result of this snare? The first snare, that Moses was the snare of Egypt and Pharaoh in Egypt. Here, what's the result here of this snare?
Disobedience to God.
Mm-hmm. It would cause him to sin.
Not the result of it.
It would cause him to sin against God?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The result of it, let me just get this straight. The snare in this particular spot is the symbol of destruction.
Okay.
That's what it's used here. So over here it was ruin because that's what Scripture specifically said. And in this spot, it leads to destruction. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because God, that's the result. That's the consequence for idolaters anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, we think, in the first one, we think of a snare, even if it wasn't in that first reference in Exodus. In our minds, a snare is what?
Like a trap.
Mm-hmm.
A trap?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's stealthy. It's something that's hidden, usually, and that it causes harm.
Uh-huh. Okay. Like the first verse, mm-hmm. we talked about ruin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this time, now it's talking about destruction. So, using the word snare, what would you have in your mind as an image? Would you have something like a little box with a carrot under it to catch a rabbit, or a bear trap?
Bear trap.
Oh, yeah.
Bear trap.
You would.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. With the worship of idols, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, though, people think of snare. They think of something made with string or, you don't.
Huh? Those wire cages.
I don't. I think so.
Yes. Where you can trap the animal and the animal's still alive. Those have a heart traps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's not what Scripture says a snare is.
Mm. Oh, no. These are serious offenses, so the snares are equal to the offense.
Yeah.
They're not easy to get out of.
Uh-uh. Mm-hmm.
See, if you had this little string or something, you could get yourself out of that. But I don't see that as in the Scriptures that we went through as something you could get yourself out of. It's something you could avoid.
Exactly. Yes, you can avoid it, but you can't get yourself out. They do lead to ruin and destruction. Mm-hmm. A snare does in Scripture. That's what I wanted to make sure that we were seeing, because a lot of times when I first thought of a snare, that's what I thought. It was one of those little strings or some wires you put in the bushes, so when an animal steps in it, you know, you
snare.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, a snare. So it was a big change in my view of what even the word is to go through this study. Does anybody else have anything to add there on this one? Usually think of a snare when you think of people or animals.
Animals.
Yeah, animals. Me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me too.
Excuse me. I didn't even think of bear traps. To me, it's just totally inhumane. So, you know. But, I mean, doesn't it mangle or cut off or break or something?
Exactly. I don't know.
That's a good way to put it. Yes,
well,
it
I would
does,
say,
yeah.
Oh, a bear trap?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, a bear trap definitely would. That's
close
what I'm trying
fast,
to say, is that, yes, the biblical view of a snare is a bear trap. Mm-hmm. That is a good comparison.
Yeah.
Well, I looked it up in the dictionary, but I'll wait until we get down a little bit further.
Thank you.
Because that's where it is.
Okay, good, oh, cool. Good. Save some of the blessings. That's good. Okay, Jean.
Okay, Exodus 34, 12 through 14.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Mm. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God.
Mm.
So, here, they talk about making treaties with those who live in the land. And that the people that live in the land will be a snare among them. It's like this snare that's like right in the middle of them.
Yes.
And so that's not a good thing.
Yes.
Okay, so a treaty. Don't you find this interesting? I mean, I did. When I first started a snare, of course, I had the wrong idea of a snare. But I had one sort of thing in mind. But here we have a person, Moses, could be a snare. An idolater could be a snare.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a treaty that could be a snare. Okay. And how do we avoid or neutralize this sort of a snare?
It says here to break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. So basically it's cutting them, breaking them at the knees. You know, take everything that's sacred to them and just demolish it. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Isn't that their idols again?
Yeah, that's the opposite of making a treaty with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good, Jean, good, yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Destroy the images or items or whatever. You know what Asherah poles were, right? Actually, in the olden days, Bible translation, those things were called groves because they weren't sure how to translate them. Mm-hmm. They're just called groves. And it sort of sounded like, they're going to go and destroy groves of trees? What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
But they're actually more like totem poles.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yes. And so the Asherah is a god or goddess or something or other. Asherah, that they're made to. So it makes a lot more sense to me now.
You know what I liked about this, too, is it brought back one of the commandments. In fact, the first commandment, where, because the last sentence says, do not worship any other god for the Lord. Whose name is Jealous is a jealous God.
Yes.
And that's it. That goes right along with Exodus 20.
Mm-hmm.
And but I like how his name is Jealous, if you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So any other idols, it's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And
But this is also, I mean, there's a way we can avoid this, mm-hmm. because this is given to them before they mm-hmm. go into the land, before they mm-hmm. take it over. This is God's instruction to them. So if they would obey God's instruction, if we obey God's instruction, then yeah. we're not going to have to worry about those snares. Mm-hmm. It's when we don't follow his mm-hmm. commands mm-hmm. that we can just be ensnared without even realizing it.
And I like what you said, that they would be surrounded by them mm-hmm. when you make a treaty, you know. They were right, yeah.
Yeah, that's
right.
A good
point. Mm-hmm. Now, then, for fun, for a little chart thing here, what would you say then to neutralize this particular snare or avoid it or get out of it or whatever? What would you say?
Avoid How would you it. Do it?
Yeah.
By not making a treaty.
Yeah. No alliances.
No alliances. You got it,
Jean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No alliances.
Yeah. No soft hearts. No feeling bad for them. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to be careful about that.
Now, can anybody think, now this is related to ladies that have been part of this study for a while, can anybody think of a specific historical situation where somebody mm-hmm. made a treaty mm-hmm. and then there was problem, there were problems? Can you, Marcia, what?
Joshua.
Yeah.
Made the treaty with those people that fooled him because he didn't consult God mm-hmm. first.
Jehoshaphat, too, oh, and right? That yeah. was a dramatic one yeah. where then five kings joined together to squash everybody.
That's
he learned,
true.
Hopefully he learned that. Yeah. Well, he did learn the lesson because yeah. he turned to God.
Yeah.
But no alliances. Mm. You know, and
That's
I...
That's interesting.
Yeah. It could, maybe it connects also with the do not be unequally yoked thing, too.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Mm.
Alliances don't just mean between countries where you have a big mm-hmm. contract with a fancy seal and the heads of state sign them, mm-hmm. you know. We could be making alliances with the wrong people all the time.
That's a good mm-hmm. point. It's mm-hmm. if we had to make a decision, I know we came up with this, I won't go into the details, mm-hmm. but, you know, we had to make a decision whether to join the family in a particular thing. Mm-hmm. And now we couldn't afford to do it, mm-hmm. but even if we could, we realize it's really not a good thing because it would be unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You cannot, you know, to join something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it really wasn't. That came later, you know, as far as the understanding of it.
But you made the
God
decision.
God mm-hmm. protected us. I guess that's the way to put it. Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that you say that, you know, mm-hmm. because and it connects with what Jean was mentioning, too, about that they were all around mm-hmm. them. It could even be neighbors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, neighbors.
Right.
Yeah. It's sort of like destroy the altars and all that sort of stuff, or be destroyed, right?
Yeah.
So no alliances. All right. Let's go on then to Psalms. We have a whole bunch of Psalms here, Deborah. Well, you had a good day working on this stuff, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Psalm 64.
Psalm 64, verses 5 and 6.
Thank you.
They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, who will see them? They plot injustice and say, we have devised a perfect plan. Surely the mind and heart of man are cunning.
Okay.
Well, I just... I got out of this that they're asking God. No, they are not. Moses is asking God for his protection. And no matter what, no matter how thin the snare may be, or however secret they're planning on doing it, God knows.
Okay, David.
Yes, David.
David.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's all right. David. It's all right. Well,
okay. To put it into your...
Oh, you don't need to follow my thing. Okay, say it again, though. Say what you said again. That David what? David's asking God.
David is asking God for protection.
Right.
for his people. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, no matter how hidden their snares were or how they planned to keep them secret or whatever, God knows. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as they were plotting injustice and, you know, all these things, God knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, to him, it really wasn't a secret.
Okay. So, what is the snare here? It says there talk about hiding their snares. Is it
injustice?
Plans? Yes, evil plans. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Evil plans. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? That evil mm-hmm. plans can be a snare. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the added piece of evil there is that they're trying to hide it, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
And they claim the victory for, or they say, we're so smart, no one will find it. I think they're haughty, they're proud, they're...
Oh, yes.
You know, there's...
Arrogant.
That's better word.
Yes,
arrogant.
That's excellent.
Talking about the heart in me. Mind and heart of man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, excellent. It doesn't say it right here, and this is one of the places where my little idea kind of flops apart a little bit, but I think we can apply biblical truth to it, though, right? So what would be the way to neutralize the evil plan set by men? And notice, they're doing it on purpose. So it's intentional. Mm-hmm. Right. I guess when you say plan, that automatically means that. But
to be aware, to be wise, to be discerning.
Okay. God's wisdom. Mm. And how would that? How would you access that? What would that be? If you're going out, if you're going along, and you want to make sure you're avoiding all these evil plans, and what's the result there, or the avoidance of it, or the neutralizing of it? Well, it's at him down in verse 7. God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly, they will be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them, and so on. So God does intervene. We need to turn to God's wisdom, which would be in his word as well as our prayer life, etc., right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, I would say definitely pray.
Thank you, Jean. Mm-hmm. Word, prayer, and trust in God. Mm-hmm. Because he is... Deliverance comes from the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In obedience to him. Not only praying, but if God gives you something, obeying him.
Yeah, just like the book of Ruth that we talked about last week. I have to tell you, that's come back to my mind over and over and over again. That God set it up this way, because I hadn't seen it before either. Mm-hmm. And they obeyed what God set up, and then the blessings just poured out. Hallelujah.
Not right away.
Oh, no.
They had to endure. They had to...
Yes. Oh, yes. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. I didn't do this one either for the little, what's the result of evil plans? The evil plans would be...
Foiled.
What did you say?
Foiled.
Foiled by God, but I'll just say troubled. Just for now. Okay. All right, let's go on to the next one. Psalm 91:3. Please.
Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence.
Ooh. Okay. So what's the snare? Well, yeah. I'm just doing this to take notes on the chart. My idea is not like the ipsy-pipsy one at the table. So share what you have, and then we can talk about this maybe. But go ahead.
Well, in another version that I had, it talked about Fowler's snare as being in reference to a hunter's trap. And I had put down here, your only real place of security is in God. So, I mean, as he will save you from the trap and from deadly pestilence, which is, you know, diseases and illnesses and whatnot. But if you totally believe in him and trust in him, then there's where your security is.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So here we have the snare, which, how would we describe it for a little thing here? The snare is a I'm doing this because I want us to understand how broad the definition of a snare is. Mm-hmm. How many things there are out there ready to entrap us. Mm-hmm. So this one, a fowler's snare generally would be a metaphor of, or example of, it's going to come up again in, oh, never mind. The enemy.
Go ahead.
Thought of Satan's schemes.
Yeah. Got it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for saving me. Okay.
God did that, honey.
Thank you, God.
Satan's schemes.
This is the one that I looked up in the dictionary, too.
Tell me, please.
Because I wasn't sure. Fowler. Well, first it said fowl, of course, mm-hmm. you know. And sure. Fowl, it said as in any bird. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, it had fowler's snare. It was a noun. Fowler is the noun.
Ooh.
Said to seek, catch, or kill wild fowl.
Ooh. Ooh, that's interesting.
So what does Satan want to do? He
right.
wants to
seek and kill
seek and
destroy.
Yeah.
Seek and destroy.
That's right.
Ooh, that was a good one. Thank you for
it
doing
is.
That. So, mm-hmm. so
cool.
these I are Satan's cool. schemes. And 91.3 says, and you read it. You said it, Deborah. We have to trust God, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so we're going to put that down after the slash mm-hmm. mark. The best way to avoid, make it through, neutralize, if you want to put it that way, is mm-hmm. to trust God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Because He is the only one who can save you.
Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Deliverance comes from the Lord. I've got that posted in my just outside my bedroom door. Okie dokie.
And also, I thought of too that He keeps His own from treacherous calamity.
Mm-hmm.
That was something. Every time I think of a snare, I think of calamity, and because you can just picture anything. Did everybody watch Star Wars? Okay,
mm-hmm.
you know the part where the Wookiee gets, or well, they actually different ones get. Snared and they literally get pulled up
mm-hmm.
by their leg.
In the woods.
They're
mm-hmm.
completely helpless.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. And anything could happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only by mercy that they were spared.
I don't have that image in my mind, but I know what you're talking about. Okay. Let's go on to the next one. 124, 6 through 8, please.
Whatever happened to 119?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
My paper, I had to add it in. Thank you. Oh, 119, 110. And I'm reading Psalm 119 right now, too.
And actually, Psalm 119 is a really long one.
Mm-hmm.
But I read the whole thing.
Oh, good.
Wow. Did the Lord bless your soul?
Yes.
I'm really happy.
This is when the tears start.
Yes, God is good.
Because it, sometimes in order for me to grasp the understanding of what is being said, like in one verse,
yeah.
I got to read the whole thing. Sometimes before and after even.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
And just so you know, that's what I pray for. Because if I wrote down all the verses, you would look at it and say, oh, Sandra, you're giving me too much to read. And instead, I just put down the targets and pray that you'll read before and after.
Yeah.
So there you go. All righty.
All right. I think that's what Bible study is all about.
Mm-hmm. Amen, sister.
Amen.
Heaven's saying you're never going to get through it. Okay. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This
Thank
is one half of a difficult... translation to get through. Some of my other ones are a heck of a lot easier. I put down here, the wicked have set a snare, which is entangling roots of false values.
Whoa.
Say that again?
He's writing down.
Entangling roots of false values.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That is a snare.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 119, by the way, is described as having endless knowledge found in God's Word. And I'm trying to remember. I read somewhere what actually
values.
Precepts, because I wasn't sure what that was, and I didn't write anything down. I forgot my Bible, so I don't remember.
Precepts. Who wants to help? What's precepts mean?
It's,
they're like laws or like precept upon precept here. It's like not virtue on virtue, but it has to do with building on what God has given us.
Mm-hmm. You have an idea?
I can't think of what it is.
It's all right. It's one of those words that has vague meanings too. Is that what you thought?
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought precept was a law.
Or
a rule.
Not so much a law, but more
than an idea. It's a principle. Mm-hmm.
It's a principle. Oh, thank you.
Principle.
Mm-hmm. It's a principle.
Okay,
it's not. You notice that it goes on in the next verse. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. So precepts, statutes, and decrees have a lot to do with each other, but they are a little bit different.
Okay. Okay.
And a precept would be a principle.
Think of it.
Okay. That makes sense.
But does that help since you...
Mm-hmm.
Didn't
yes.
write it. Okay, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have more to say on that, dear?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Well, I've been liking some.
Actually, I well, yes, I do. I'm
oh,
sorry.
There you go.
Kind of a, to get you out of this snare that's in there is to trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Always trust
Once
in the Lord.
Once again, mm-hmm. she pops it up. Okay. So I like that very much.
Started. So obviously this was telling me something.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, so the snare here is, I'm going to just, do you mind if I just write culture?
Mm-hmm.
because
this long one is...
It could be anything.
Entangling, yes, entangling roots of false values. That's true.
I really like that.
Notice what it says in the verse, right? It says, the wicked have set the snare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll say culture if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, and then it says here something really specific about how we neutralize this particular snare, the snare of the culture. What does it say there?
Do not stray.
What? From what?
From what?
Principles.
Yay! Okay, so I wrote
God's principles.
So if I write stand firm, do we all agree
yes.
that is God's
yes.
word?
Sounds
okay.
good.
Stand
yep.
firm. I might actually just, I know that we all know, and I'm going to write it there. Stand firm on God's truth. Now, not to make it any less, but to make it definitely equal, let's put trust again.
Stand firm in trust.
Okay. Well, you'd have to trust in order to be able to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and not stray.
I think it's such a good message. And we'll just write it out there again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they set a snare, and this is another one of those places where it means...
destruction, wouldn't it?
Like a pitfall. Yes, destruction. So we'll put that again. Destruction. That's the result. Now look, are you seeing a pattern already?
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different snares,
mm-hmm.
but they're being uncovered. We're
mm-hmm.
seeing what they can be. We know who sets them: the enemy
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
The wicked.
Mm-hmm.
The result is never good. Right. It's only harm and serious harm. As we said, more like a bear trap than a little piece of string.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways that we can avoid them, neutralize them, get out of them. Yes. So, all right, let's keep going. I think we got a good pattern going here. Does anybody have anything else on that one before we go over to... All right. Now, look at this. Is that 124?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I have other notes here, too. Mm.
No, that was 119.
119. Okay, good. Now we're doing 124.
Then you'll
start getting warmed up.
Psalm 124, 6 through 8.
I just want to get to 124, I guess. I've skipped twice now.
Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You had any doubts about what a trap or a
mm-hmm.
Snare was, this should have dispelled them.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why it's so important to not just grab one verse and look at it, or even two or three.
Yeah.
If there's more, keep looking, keep looking. Okay, Deborah, there you go.
Well, I couldn't put this in my own words. This is like already. It's there.
You're just rephrasing what it says. Mm-hmm.
I wish I could.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to say? All right. Well, go ahead, Marjorie.
No, this is the one you were interested in, so you go ahead. You go ahead.
If you look back at verse 2, mm-hmm. where it's talking about the Lord, that the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us. So it's this particular snare is a physical attack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a physical attack. I don't know if I can't tell you for sure if they were surrounded, if they were just being overwhelmed with a rush.
Mm-hmm.
Outnumbered, I don't know for sure. It says the men attacked us, their anger flared, and so on and so on. Now, but it was serious. Now, so it's men, and it refers to, this is what I liked about men, I guess I'll call it men, and then war.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we get the idea there, okay? And then the slash mark again. And this psalm is talking about when Israel was captivity of Babylon. They mm-hmm. were in the Babylonian captivity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the men and the war and being overwhelmed and all of that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And how wonderful, at least at this point in their history, they're saying, we've escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare.
Mm-hmm.
And remember what Pat said about the fowler's snare, that mm-hmm. you know, you can trap them, but really kill them too.
Yeah,
well, that's why you trap them.
Yeah, that's right. So this is Israel and Babylon.
Okay.
Well, in some places they would just snare. This is why I'm trying to. I guess I'm defending myself. You know, in some places, birders put up nets
mm-hmm,
in the way
mm-hmm.
birds are in a passageway of migrating birds, and they snare them, and then they take them and they count them, or they put bands on their legs. I was going to say their arms on their legs, and then they mark it all down and they release them to see if the same birds migrate again, mm-hmm. or you know, to get a count or the different species mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. So in that sense, they're trapped and released, and that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the Bible means when the Bible's talking about a snare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then, what about this snare? What's the way to get out of this one or neutralize this one? What does it say there?
God has.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Made a way of escape.
In the name of the Lord.
God intervenes.
Mm-hmm.
God rescues. Let's put that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God rescues. Now, he breaks the snare. So, since we know that's true, then the way to do that, the piece that we might participate in, is that we turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And he leads us out.
And the neat thing is with birds, I think, just thinking about it, is they would have been unhurt, or because of
mm-hmm.
God, they'd be unhurt
mm-hmm.
because they'd fly.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, you know, not just try to limp away because then they'd be caught.
Sure.
So it's kind of cool.
And this particular psalm, in this particular portion of this psalm, is a very special one for me. If you look at verse 8, where it says, our help
mm.
is in the name of the Lord,
mm.
the maker of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
That word there that says help is ezer. And it's the same word that's used in Genesis, that's translated in Genesis as help me.
Can you spell it?
E in English. It's not really an English
okay.
word. I was going to say Dutch. No, it's a Hebrew word.
Okay.
E-Z-E-R is how it's written, how we write it in English.
Okay.
And it's Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. I'll make a helper suitable for him. It's the same word. So this idea here of the help to get out of a snare, a deadly snare, I mean, that's a pretty high call for a woman, people that want to put us down. And So the men are at war and all. What do you think was going to be the result of that snare?
If God had not.
Glory to God.
Well, because God stopped it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if it had been successful. The snare itself, their goal
would have been death.
Annihilation of the,
mm-hmm.
to get rid of the
right.
Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to put that down here because annihilation, I think I spelled it right. Okay, and thank you, Jean, for saying that because what I want to write now is something I didn't write on any of the others, but it really got me here. This is getting so serious. It's building up and building up. So God rest you. Freedom.
Oh,
you know, there, the goal of the snares or the result of the snares, the goal of the enemies, Satan, et cetera, or even the culture, okay,
mm-hmm.
is destruction, ruin, all this stuff. Well, I didn't write that up right, did I? Anyhow, the way is annihilation, but God wants is freedom. God's
mm-hmm.
goal is freedom.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I didn't write
mm-hmm.
that right up here, did I? Okay, are we ready? I gotta fix this. Make a treaty. The treaty was supposed to lead to... Make a treaty, they're supposed to take you over. Conquest.
Slavery?
Conquest? Yes, I like that better, Jean, but let me... I already started this. Thank you. We gotta make a match, right? All right. So we went back to Exodus 34, 12 to 14, and put on there from treaty, what is the, those things that they want to ensnare us is supposed to lead to conquest and, or slavery.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote no alliance up there, but that's
mm-hmm.
how to avoid
okay.
it. So I got confused. I'm allowed. Oh, wow. It's getting pretty big. Okay, now, it might... Did anybody think when you were looking along that I must have done... That I must have written it incorrectly? Because of the next reference?
No.
25:15? Nobody thought I meant 1:25:15?
Mm-mm.
Ooh, you guys are good.
Well,
oh.
It said snare, so...
Yeah. Ah.
Now, had it
was
not
that
said
a trick
snare,
question?
We might have gone.
I never would have thought about it.
But
I mean, just,
yeah,
I mean, just as you were looking at it, like
64, 91, 119, 124, 25.
Oh. What the heck? And then look,
it
and then go all the way back.
It had to be where you wanted to bring us.
I
point.
Had to have it at
mm-hmm.
the end of the Psalm 1. Okay, so there
yeah.
you go, Deborah.
Psalm 25:15. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release my feet from the snare.
Okay. Now you notice this is going to be where my chart falls down. Because we don't have a specific snare description here, do we?
Well, we're already in the snare.
Okay.
So, just like we're already in sin, we're already in the snare.
Good point.
We're already
in
bondage.
Sin. Yes. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sin. Okay. Mm-hmm. And?
But our eyes are on the Lord.
Yeah.
So that...
Yeah. How do we get out of there or whatever? Okay, we keep our eyes on God.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good one, too.
Thing is, if your feet get trapped... You can't move. You're either going to fall on your face or you're going to be just standing there doing nothing. So when God lets you go, when He frees you, He's bringing you through whatever it is you're going into.
Mm-hmm. Only He will release my feet from the snare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The release comes from God.
Okay.
And only... Now, you know, we've talked about some other things, about how our behavior can help us to avoid some of these snares, right? Or help to neutralize them. Like, you get in the middle of it, and you made an unholy alliance with somebody, also known as unequally yoked, and you discover it, then, and you know, and God points it out to you, then you need to be doing what you can to get away from that, to honor the commitment you made or whatever, but to find a way to undo, and whatever, I don't know what the example would be, because God gives you common sense and wits about you. But ultimately, who gives you that way out?
God.
Yeah, only God. Only God can release us from a snare. So while we're talking all this time about, you know, keeping our eyes alert and so on, so on, so on, let's not think that we're the ones.
I had wrote my deliverer.
Yes.
He delivers us. In him alone.
Yes.
Deliverance.
Yes. It was the only in that one that was so powerful.
Right.
Alone.
Yeah.
That's good, Pat. Thank you. All right. We're done with that row now. We're coming up to the next one. Marcia, we're
going
to look a little bit at Proverbs and then do one more Psalm. It wouldn't fit on the other line, so I actually, it goes together as well. So Proverbs 3, 25 and 26.
Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Keep your foot from being snared. Okay. Right. Fear not for sudden disaster will only overtake the plotters of evil. The Lord is our confidence, keeping our foot from being snared. We must focus on God, seek His guidance. We must be vigilant in all our ways to stay under the Lord's protective custody.
I disagree.
What do you have, Jean?
Well, it says have no fear of sudden disaster. It doesn't mean God will keep you from sudden disaster.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But we don't have to fear it. You know, there are a lot of people that I think of a friend in particular right now that she's very fearful that all she's doing on her farm and everything else will not be enough. She's fearful the government will just take it on over. But, you know, we don't have to fear those things. I mean, it doesn't matter. Things are going to happen. We're involved in them. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But we don't have to fear it. We don't have to live in fear.
Right.
So that's why I disagree with you.
Well, I started off with fear not for sudden disaster. Well, yeah, but I said only. You're right. You're right. Thank you, Jean. I appreciate that.
Because, you know, let's face it.
You're right.
We've been through car disasters in the past month or two.
You're right.
You know, it's just because we're saved, just because we're the elect, doesn't mean we don't go through hard times. Doesn't mean God doesn't put us in affliction. It just means that we don't have to fear it.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Yay.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what it says. It says have no fear. So, okay, so what's the snare here then? Because the snare would take
fear
us into fear.
Would
so,
be the snare.
I don't know. It could be.
Could be
the disaster, right? Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. He'll keep your foot from being snared. So it could be the disaster. Could be, now what it says is the ruin that happens to evil people, right? Or it could be the fear, I suppose.
And let's face it, when God judges the wicked, we're around, we're going to feel that to an effect, but we're not going to be pulled down by it.
Exactly. That's what this means. That's right. And it is a snare, isn't it?
It is.
Don't you feel that way?
Oh, you can get
when
so
stuff is going on around you.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I could think of an example, but it kind of swirls around like this and goes down. Anyway. Okay, so what is it saying here that is the way to neutralize it, avoid it, or whatever?
We trust in the Lord.
Yes,
confidence. Our confidence.
That's right. Confidence in God.
That's
and
where
of
trust
course,
comes in.
Say that again, Jean.
That's where the trust comes in.
Yes, trust again. And you know, that has to do... that's what confidence means, is trust. So, that's right. And here, the sudden disaster and the ruin and all that kind of stuff, that's what it is destruction.
And it's going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're absolutely right, because we go through stuff all the time. You don't think of it as, I don't know, in the same way, but it's true. The Lord will be our confidence, and He'll keep our foot from being snared. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But right. Yeah.
And that's why, and back to the Book of Ruth again, because they took the time. Now I don't know if it was 20 minutes or 2 days, but or if they studied for years and years to make sure they knew God's precepts. But they followed them. They went to God first and followed His ways.
Yeah.
And so they were able to have confidence in Him. They were able to avoid the snare of doing things improperly. Mm. Like if they had bypassed the original or the closer kinsman redeemer, what might have happened then, and so on and so on. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is everybody done on that one?
I think I went in a different...
Okay.
I saw it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote, our feet seem to be very slippery.
It's true. It's true too.
Our feet take us places we should not go.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess I looked at that a little bit differently, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, because immediately the song, the you know the old song there, be careful little eyes what you see, little
yes.
hands what you
yes.
do.
Yes.
You know? Mouth, it came in my mind, you know.
Little feet where you go. That's right. That's exactly right. Some of those old ones are really good. All right, should we move on to the next one?
Yes.
Proverbs 29:25. I thought this study was not all that long this time, by the way, this week.
No,
but it was really good.
A lot in it, though.
Yes, oh yes. This
okay,
is a good one.
There we
one.
Go.
Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. We're only supposed to fear God.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we must choose, trust God implicitly, as He alone keeps us safe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if we fear man, we doubt our God, it will be, and doubt God, it will be a snare that entangles us.
Mm-hmm.
Fear not, I just quoted some, fear not, for I am with you, be not dismayed, for I am your God.
Mm-hmm. What's
and
that
I
reference?
Wrote, persevere.
Do you have that reference of that? Fear not for...
I'm with you.
That's
not
okay.
Dismayed,
that's fine.
I am your God. I will comfort you. I will. Oh, right hand of my righteousness. Oh, is it Psalm 51? Psalm 139?
I don't know. Doesn't matter right now. You can look it up
I'm
when
sorry,
it's somebody
I,
else's
I just
turn.
Remembered
it's all right.
It.
It's very good,
it.
And I wanted to jot it down. That's all.
But I said persevere, too. It's very important that we do that. We don't need to fear man. Who is man? We need to fear God. He's the one that holds the keys to life and death.
Right.
Whether it isn't man, it's God only. So whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. That doesn't mean, again, it reminds me what something you said too. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through stuff.
Right.
But when we do go through it, it's like when
exactly right.
when Peter got out of the boat to go meet Jesus and walk across the water, he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the storm, and he started to sink.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus pulled him right out.
That's right.
So we need to trust in Him and not look at what's going on around. It'd be real easy right now to look around at what's going on in the world, in the country, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So.
What you thinking, Deborah? Do you care to share? You can see the wheels turning in there. You don't have to. You can pass.
Things are crumbling all over the place.
Amen.
You know, honest to goodness, if it wasn't for the fear of the Lord, I'd crumble with it too.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us. I was saying this a bit earlier before we started, you know. We shouldn't be surprised when we're affected by all of that, just as Christ, when He was on His way to the cross. You know, he wasn't dancing around with pom-poms and smile on his face and slapping everybody in the group. Hey, how you doing? I'm on my way to Calvary. I mean, he was suffering. And his whole body and everything else had, you know, reflected that.
Mm.
So, okay, let's look at this one then. So, the fear of man is the snare, right?
You could also consider pressure on... social pressures or any type of
the culture
got that.
Too. Yes, yes, that's exactly right. Fear man.
Anything at all. Like, you may be afraid to stand up and talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You may be afraid that of ridicule or even worse if you talk about God.
That's right.
So it could be any number of things. When you're afraid of man, mm-hmm. that's why we need to focus on God.
Yes, and now that you say that, since this is a ladies' Bible study, that includes other ladies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we think my house isn't clean enough or this enough or that enough because it doesn't compare to somebody else's house,
yeah.
that's a problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, or et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Or I have to do this because what will so-and-so think of
about
me?
Right. Right.
It doesn't
right.
just have to be the ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
It can.
That's right. That's right. I just, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. when I put man on the board, I wrote it with a capital M so we know what it means,
mm-hmm.
men and women, too.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're pretty
yep.
we're pretty weak at that, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
But God
yeah.
builds us up.
Yeah.
God builds
yeah.
us up. Okay. So then the way to neutralize it, avoid it, or whatever, I know we said it, but here we have here.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. Whoever trusts in the Lord. So
mm-hmm.
I trust, and I'm not just going to leave it plain in God, all right? So that, what do you think is this fear of man, that peer pressure and all, and women, and the various things that go on, what do you think is the end result of that?
Well, that's bondage.
Yeah, good, Jean. Thank mm-hmm. you. Bondage, yes.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the enemy can keep our mind wrapped up in all of this stuff, we don't have it focused on God at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie.
You know, and it just brought to mind something, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I'm sure it happens to all of us, but I know, you know how you struggle with prayer? You want to, you sit down and you've got the word and
mm-hmm.
you're really... want to, you know, ask God, you know, talk to him and share your concerns and so forth. And all of a sudden, your mind goes off somewhere else and something will come in and grab you. And it's a fight, it's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
But he keeps us safe even in that. We can ask the Holy Spirit to
mm-hmm.
pray for us.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't
exactly
even
right.
do that,
exactly
then he gives
we can
us
just
that.
Groan.
He keeps us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
But...
Okay, let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Thank you, Marsha. Well, let's see. Psalm 141, verses 8 and 9, Pat. Oh,
no.
Marsha, sorry. I'm jumping the gun. I'm just looking at the clock, and now we are in trouble with time. So I'm going to stop writing on my chart.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't know.
Could we finish it next week instead of trying to cram it all in?
Instead of trying to do the one I already wrote.
Oh, you got another
go ahead.
We can do both.
Well, it's daytime, so we can take as long as we need to. Huh? Go ahead, Marsha.
8
mm-hmm.
and 9.
Mm-hmm.
But my eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, from the traps set by evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I pass by in safety.
Mm-hmm.
Did I go too far?
No,
oh,
yes, but
yeah,
that's all right.
That's
it's fine.
Right.
It's all
sorry.
Together.
I did.
It's good.
Okay. With confidence, we keep our eyes focused on our sovereign God. In him we take refuge. He will keep us from the snares, traps, set specifically for God's people. God will not give us over to death. He cherishes us.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, all right, but I went too far on that. But I love that.
It's all right.
He'll pass by in safety. But anyway, he's the one, the snares have been laid for us.
Mm-hmm.
By evildoers, but our eyes are fixed on our sovereign Lord, so
mm-hmm.
that he keeps us from their treachery.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Amen.
Good. Okay. So the snare is the treachery. It says in here a trap, which is a synonym for it, but it is. It's the treachery or the plots of men. Now, the plots of men, we've seen that as a snare before, and the way to avoid or prevent or whatever is to
keep our eyes on
right
God.
Keep our eyes on God, take refuge in him, pray for protection.
Yep.
Seeing a pattern anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, let's move on. I love it. Let's move on to Isaiah chapter 8.
What did you say at the end of that one? Protection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes, that's right. Pray for protection. You're a busy little writer. Okay, Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 to 15.
We'll get to Ezekiel from Isaiah.
That's pretty good, huh? Is that why you want to carry on it?
No, it's in my mind. It's Isaiah 8:11. The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread, and he will be a sanctuary. But for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. And I just wrote, God wants us to follow him, to fear him, for he is a jealous God. And that some will fall into snares. Some will...
Okay. What's the snare that's described here? It says in verse 14 is the place where we see snare. Who is it that's being described? It says, for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Who's that?
The people that disobey.
No, if you look back at... in 12, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to fear, and so on and so on. He will be a sanctuary in verse 14. But for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble. Who is that? And a rock that makes them fall. Who is that? It's an individual.
If I was to say cornerstone, who would you think? Oh, Jesus? Yes.
So at the beginning of that little passage is talking about what the people think. Don't get caught up in their conspiracies and this and that and everything, because the truth is that Jesus is going to be a trap and a snare. Now, how could that be? But think about it. If you look at our little chart, you're right. Jesus or the Christ. Now, how could he be a snare? I mean, it says it. We've been talking about the terrible results and ends of snares is death and destruction, annihilation, death, trouble, ruin. I mean, all bad stuff. How could that be? How could Jesus be a snare? Anybody?
It says in his word that... He will come with a sword. But I was thinking, with both houses of Israel, wouldn't that include the Jewish people as well as those that eventually are the elect as well? No, both houses.
It's used here. It's both houses of Israel. It means the both sections, but it's
what
not
does it mean?
The people
what
that
does
live
that
in
mean?
There, the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, once
oh,
they split
Southern,
up.
Okay, good.
But it says,
go ahead. Well, he's the one that'll show the people the truth, and they don't want to see the truth or the light, so that they will stumble over him, his word, his who he is. He's God in the flesh,
right? So in verse 15, where it says, many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Who is that? I mean, since Jesus is the snare, who's going to get snared up in Jesus, the Christ?
Unrepentant.
Yeah. The unrepentant.
But even the Jews were unrepentant then. They did
yes,
not believe who he was.
Right, there were
and
Jews.
So therefore,
that's exactly right. That's
mm-hmm.
right. And I'm glad that you brought up the thing about the cornerstone, because that's the point here. He's going to be the cornerstone for those who've been called, for those who belong to him, the ones the Father gave to him. Christ becomes the cornerstone. But for everybody else, he's
the
not
rock
the rock they stand on. He's the rock they fall over
because
they will not recognize who he is. They refuse.
Boy.
So that's how Jesus can be a snare. The same way the truth can be a snare if you don't want to recognize it.
Yep.
And this one has eternal consequences too.
Yeah. Now you've got it. That's what I was going to bring up. Now, that's eternal consequence. Mm-hmm. This is not just physical death, like from the guys that are coming for war or any of these other traps, you know, the culture and all that kind of stuff, spiritual death even. But this is eternal. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Ooh, entrapped. You notice it says this people. These people call it conspiracy. It's this people. That's the problem. Oh, wow, that's a big one. Because it caught me at first. How could Jesus be a snare? Do you understand
that? He was. In the New Testament, he said he was going to be the rock of offense, the stone that they would stumble over. They would stumble over, he would crush them.
I love how the Bible fits together. It's beauty. It's beauty. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that helpful, Pat? Do you see? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now we'll go over to Isaiah 28, verse 13. I think we're going to have to take your suggestion, by the way.
So then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here and a little there. So that they will go and fall backward, be injured and snared and captured. And from last time we had written consequence for their actions. I wrote it in the Bible. Disobedience. And they will suffer the consequences for their actions.
Now
we will suffer for our actions.
Great. So now, do you remember that we read this passage recently?
Yes.
Did that all come back to your minds when we read about rule on rule?
They were
mimicking. Yes, that's right. It was a condescending way to look at God's precepts. Rule on rule. Yeah, okay.
Well, it's like the Pharisees, Sadducees, the rulers. Do this. This. They make the word of God just a list of rules, not the living thing that it is.
Very good, Jean.
Yeah.
So here, the danger, the trap is really a low view of God.
Yes.
A low view of God and His.
That's right.
And His word. Because that's what they do. They're basically crushing it under their feet, kicking dust on it.
They have no respect for it, no honor for it.
So, what would be the way to sort of get out of that or avoid it or neutralize it?
Change their attitude.
They need to change their attitude. What if it's us?
We need to change our attitude.
Yeah, we need to be taking God's word seriously. Yes. You know, if it's a low view of God, that's a problem. Then the alternative to that is to remember who God is. Recognize Him for who He is. And being in His Word is really helpful. To that, because it's the truth.
It is.
And the low view of God, according to this verse, will lead to injury and capture.
It is scary, too, when it says fall backward and be injured. You know,
isn't that true though?
It's just it. I literally fall. You know how I do that. You guys have seen me grabbed onto different people here and there, but it's a really uneasy. It's a unsettling feeling when you start to go backwards. And just think about that. That's what they're doing. They will fall backward.
But to not listen to God's word, what happens to us? We're injured because of it.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Now, I think that I'm going to follow Pat's suggestion, and we have a few more verses left, and I don't want to rush through them. We have just a few minutes, and I do want to be able to have a little bit of time to pray together, so I'm going to stop us here and carry on next time. All right, we had to pause because it was getting too late in the evening, but now we're picking our study up again on the word snare. And where we are right now is at Ezekiel chapter 12, and it's verses 12 through 14. Now, just for today, I think I'm going to ask you, Marcia, if you'll start for us.
All right.
Ezekiel 12, 12 to 14. Go ahead and find it.
Ezekiel 12, 12 to 14.
Okay. The prince among them will put his things on his shoulder at dusk and leave, and a hole will be dug in the wall for him to go through. He will cover his face so that he cannot see the land. I will spread my net for him, and he will be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylonia, the land of the Chaldeans, but he will not see it, and there he will die. I will scatter to the winds all those around him, his staff, and all his troops, and I will pursue them with drawn sword. And this is the Lord speaking.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Ezekiel the prophet is instructed by God to carry out, I wrote a simulation of the maneuver that God would have the prince do.
Right.
And the prince and his rebellious people would be punished. Ezekiel went through the whole ordeal so he would be seen and emulated by those unrepentant people. He even had to dig a hole in the wall to exit after packing, then cover his face and leave. They watched him prepare during the daylight. Then watched when he actually left at dusk. The prince and his people did the same and were brought to Babylon. The prince was killed. The others scattered and pursued with drawn sword. They were caught in God's snare.
Okay. So we were working on this really specifically earlier, but today let's just sort of pull it together. So what is the snare? That's how we've been talking about these. What's the snare here? You said it right at the end. It was set by God.
Set by God, and it was his net. He literally drew out the unrepentant people for his purpose, and which was eventually to destroy them because they were against God. Mm-hmm. So,
but what was the snare?
The snare itself. Well, it was actually, I think Ezekiel the prophet led them out, and God used him as his example, and knowing that they were watching, and that he was leaving, and he was God's chosen priest and prophet, so that the people followed, and God laid that snare. I'm not sure if that's correct.
Well, everything you said is correct, yes, but I'm trying to get at something really specific. Does anybody else have an idea of what the specific... It comes out a little bit in the capital letter words there in verse 13. I will bring him to Babylonia, the land of the Chaldeans. In other words, captivity.
Oh, yeah, captivity.
The captivity was the snare.
Okay. I see. Okay, right. You're right. Okay.
So the captivity, well, everything you said was right, too. I'm just trying to be a little picky here.
Good.
But the important part, you did say that part, and that is that it was set by God. Mm. You know, in a lot of the ones that we've been, examples we've been talking about, the snares have been really negative things that have been set by other people or evil people or this or that. But this one was set clearly by God for the purpose you mentioned about dealing with the unredeemed. Now, what was the other two things we were looking at is what is the ultimate result here of this snare?
Punishment?
Yes, punishment. What else? Death, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I underlined that in my little list there. Okay, punishment, death. Yeah. Disbursement, too.
Right? Scattering, yes.
They were scattered all over. Mm-hmm. And blindness, too.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Isn't it?
And I found it interesting that even Ezekiel had to have a covering over his head. Mm-hmm. I found that fascinating. Mm-hmm. But it was like monkey see, monkey do, in a way. Well, maybe a flip way to put it, but that's what they did. Yeah. They followed his example because they knew he was a man of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other aspect we've sort of been keying in on a little bit, too, is, so what's the way to either avoid or neutralize or limit or whatever the snare? Mm-hmm.
Obedience.
Yes, that's right. Good. That's
had
right.
the prince obeyed,
yes.
and gone to Babylon, right. yeah. Babylon, then none of this would have happened. Right. But because he resisted,
that's right. right. Obedience, yielding—that's another word I like to use. Mm-hmm. When I struggle with the idea of submission, I just stick the word yield in there, and it's a lot easier to do. So, okay, that's good. We got those little points, and that'll kind of get us back in the mindset here. Mm-hmm. Let's go over to a little further in Ezekiel to chapter 17, 19 to 21.
Okay. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. As surely as I live, I will bring down on his head my oath that he despised and my covenant that he broke. I will spread my net for him, and he will be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and execute judgment upon him, and there, because he was unfaithful to me, all his fleeing troops will fall by the sword, and the survivors will be scattered to the winds. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. Mm. This is a reiteration of what he said, and it mm-hmm. really makes it clear that mm-hmm. God is the one. Mm-hmm. He did it for his purpose, and there was going to be no doubt as to why he did it.
Right. And for his glory, to and make himself
yes.
known, right?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. that's right.
Yes.
So the snare is, we could say captivity again,
yes.
too, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Judgment.
Yeah, death.
Mm-hmm. And it's set by God. We mm-hmm. see that again. So let's be alert to that now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The same result is death and disbursement, mm-hmm. dispersion. And here, what is the... what's the way to limit or neutralize or avoid the snare?
Listening to God and obeying.
Okay,
yeah.
okay, okay. There's a word that's used in there that I'm sorry, Pat, what did you say?
No, the same.
Oh, okay.
Well, they broke his covenant.
And, yes, and yes,
they,
yes.
And that was a really
so
bad
keeping of the covenant.
Keep
yeah.
the covenant. That's exactly right. Keeping the covenant. Okay, yeah. to revere it, actually, it says in there. Mm-hmm. Okay. But also, there's another word that I really like. It's at the end of verse 21, and it says, upon him, and execute judgment upon him there because he was unfaithful
yes.
to me. So then the opposite of that would be, because mm-hmm. that what is what led into the snare, the opposite would be
faithful.
Faithful,
mm-hmm.
that's right. To be faithful. Faithful to
yep.
God.
Yeah.
To the call he's placed on our lives and to follow his... I want to be careful because I realized when I was thinking since last time and now that we talk a lot about the doing things. We need to be really clear about the being things, like faithful, trusting, revering, all those things. We don't
none
think
the
about
doing,
them as actions, but they
none
are.
None of the doing has any bearing if it's not out of faithfulness
to
and
begin
a pure
with.
Heart to
yes,
begin
right.
with.
Good.
You can do all you want.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, you know,
mm-hmm.
God said, you know, you worship me, but your lips, you know, with your lips, but your heart's far from me. So.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Right. Right. Good. All right. Now let's go over to, thanks, Marcia. Let's go over to the next line and Pat will turn to you if you don't mind.
Okay.
Now this is the last line in this study. It's Psalm 69 mm-hmm. verses 19 to 29. And I do like to pay attention to what's in the last row. And while you're looking that up, just to point out, as Marcia mentioned, Ezekiel chapter 17 is a reiteration, a repeat mm-hmm. of what was said by the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we notice when we're in Scripture and we see the same things being mm-hmm. repeated?
It's important.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very, very important. Okay. So captivity and judgment is definitely a snare that God does set for those that are not faithful, unyielding, so on, so on. And the point is that God be known.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Psalm 69, and we're going to do verses, it's 10 verses, Pat. Do you feel
okay.
up to it?
Okay.
19 to 29. Okay.
You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst.
Mm-hmm.
May the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap.
Mm-hmm.
May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents, for they persecute those who you wound and talk about the pain of those you hurt. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. Mm. I am in pain and distress. May your salvation, O God, protect me.
Mm. All right, Pat, that's a heavy one, but it's there. Go ahead.
I was trying to relate it back to that, you know, thinking, trying to think it through. I had wrote, to me it was a picture of Christ to come.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote, David's words sound like a picture of Christ's life yet to come. Mm-hmm. And that the snare was fellowship.
Of?
Fellowship with evil.
Okay, with, good. Wow. Okay, that's good. Oh, that's right.
Good one.
Fellowship
that's
with evil.
I saw, I think, in 22.
Mm-hmm.
It said, you know, like, may the table set before them become a snare. So if we fellowship with evil, you know.
Eat and drink with
mm-hmm.
it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then this verse just matched right into Romans.
Oh, what a coincidence. So I'm glad you've got this whole row here. That's good. Okay. Well, yes, that's a good way to put it, Pat, about what the snare is. I put it a little differently because of the way that was written. Mm-hmm. The way I thought was the table that was set before them become the snare. Them are the enemies of David.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right in what you said. That's right. I'm not correcting you.
Yeah.
Just adding sort of my little thing.
No,
but so that was a table of unity of the enemies of David.
Mm-hmm.
That here they were celebrating and happy in their adversity. Anyway, their nasty behavior and their evil and all that kind of stuff. And they're all together. And that very table around which they're fellowshipping, just as you said, Pat, is the snare. Does it look like a snare to them, do you think?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no. We've got power. And another thing that happens in those situations is, well, there's all these other people at the table. I can't be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, mob violence and stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what I was thinking, too, was in Psalm 23:5, where it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And it really brought to light this, the whole thing, the thought, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just,
So who wrote
God's
this?
Enemies.
Yes. Who wrote this, Pat? Do you know?
I thought David.
Yes, he did. Yeah. That's right. It's correct. I wasn't correcting you. Okay, that's right. All right.
These trick questions.
Oh, yeah. So trick. They're so trick. Yeah. All right. So then what is the way to avoid, minimize, or negate this kind of a snare? How do we avoid that? You know, what can we do? What does it say in here? What does David do?
Well,
because it's clear what David does, right?
In his pain and distress, may your salvation, O God, protect me. That's what he turns to.
Okay, all right.
I thought of Psalm 1 with this, which is, you know, don't walk in the way of the ungodly.
There you go.
And don't sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I thought
of. That's a good one.
When I saw this.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He turned to God and his salvation. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
He also goes forward and calls out for God to bring justice on his enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what David did. It's set out here as a you know, something for us to see. So rely on God's salvation and call to him for justice.
He's pretty strong about that.
You
David
think so?
Is. He does that.
Well,
a
I
lot.
Wonder why. You know, he's got somebody out against his very life. You know, these people are not repentant.
No,
it's a whole table full of them.
Yeah.
It's a whole unified
all of Saul's,
force.
You know.
Oh yeah. So then we would say that the result of this snare is going to be retribution.
Mm-hmm.
And I
appreciate what you said, Pat, is about it looking forward to Christ, because isn't that, you know, another mark of justice, God's justice.
Mm.
Okay. Now, you mentioned it goes on and connects with Romans, and that is exactly why those are put together. We've got the Old Testament message. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to go over to Romans for the New Testament message and see how they fit together. Romans 11, 7 to 10.
Thank you, God, for your word.
Amen.
Amen. It all is so connected.
What then? What Israel sought so earnestly it did not obtain, but the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so that they could not hear, to this very day. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever.
Mm.
And I had the same, you know, mm-hmm. that it just went back. Mm-hmm. Some were mm-hmm. chosen, the mm-hmm. elect were chosen.
That's right.
And the others were hardened.
That's right.
Remained, you know, stiff-necked, right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. That's good.
Word. Yeah.
What is it there? It says, what the Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain. What did Israel, as a nation or as, you know, not just a political nation, I don't mean. The people that called themselves God's people. What was it that they sought so earnestly?
Well, they sought the Redeemer, but it wasn't who they thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To
be in a right relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Righteousness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. So you're right in what you said. I just picked the word, that's all.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word.
Mm-hmm. But here's Israel working so hard to have, working so hard to have the righteousness of God, but it was the elect who actually obtained it.
Right.
And all the others were hardened. And then, of course, it's repeated back, the psalm.
Did actually Israel seek the righteousness of God?
Mm.
Or did they seek what they wanted?
Well, all the ones that we know about that went around, well, I don't say by name, but talk about well, you know, we're of the blood. We're part of Israel. We're it. In that sense, seeking, but you're right in what you're talking about in terms of really a heart seeking.
Mm.
All right, it is a different thing.
Mm.
And that, I think, is a very important thing to remember. I used to think about it this way, that our heads are sort of like a bubblegum machine, and you can have all these little round, yeah, all right, okay, so it's bizarre. Maybe some people in the world, even just in America today, don't know what these old bubblegum machines used to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to be a big glass globe with little round colored balls of bubblegum in there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, it was a penny.
Yep.
I know it's not a penny anymore, but when I was a kid, it was a penny.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picture my mind like that glass sphere, that there's all this information in there, and they're brightly colored, and, you know, they're good stuff, all of that. But it's not until you put the penny in, so to speak, comparing that to a life experience or taking the time to bring things to the Lord and so on and so on. And when you do, when that penny goes in there, and of course now I understand more, this was years ago, but now I understand more that that's all God's work in there. Mm-hmm. It's not me putting the penny in and all of that. I understand that. But in a machine, when you put the penny in and you flip the little lever, out would come the gumball, and then I would be able to chew it and taste it, and it would be sweet and really wonderful.
Yeah.
Similar to, you can have all the information, all those beautiful little gumballs in your head that you want to have there, but until the Lord intervenes, however he sees fit, and puts in whatever's necessary for that little gumball to go bloop, 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 down into your heart, you know, it's only just so many gumballs up there.
Yeah.
What good does it do?
Right.
'Cause that's not where God's looking anyway.
You're right. That's a neat way to put it.
I did a big drawing about it once. So anyway. All right. So the trap we see is the same trap that was laid out. The result is the same thing as retribution. And here he also asks God. So Paul is reiterating what David called for, you know, judgment on them and blindness so that they cannot see, you know, that their hearts would be hardened in everything. Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But now it's applied to hardened hearts by God. Mm. So it's those who are, it's God's application anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. And as Pat mentioned earlier, you know, it's the non-elect. God makes the choosing, does the choosing. Mm-hmm. All right. Does anybody have any, I mean, I love, before we start, I just love that connection of the Psalms to the Romans. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, it makes the weaving of the Word of God even that much tighter. It makes it more evident to me that I'm not going to fall between the cracks there, between the warp and the woof of His Word, if I can say it that way. So, does anybody else have anything to say about this particular word, the snare, before we stop?
It was a wonderful study. It just, it made you really think about snares. I mean, I had a one-dimensional thought of snare before I started reading this. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, the thought of trapping animals, which I just couldn't, you know, that was really not my thing. But it really broadened it to show the different types of snares and that God sets snares and that it's for His purpose and He is going to accomplish that. Mm-hmm. So it really made it powerful.
Yeah, oh yeah. I, some of them that when I was going through them on my own, but then also when we were reading them together, it's almost like I can't believe people read this and aren't actually scared into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I don't want that coming my way. Yeah. And I'm sure that there are people that the Lord does affect their heart that way. You know, it's still His work, no matter what. But
and you have on the flip side of that, you've got a lot of Christians in quotes who are so fearful of the enemy and all his ways, and you see this that God keeps our feet from the snares, how God delivers us from the snares, that it's not our work, it's His work in our life.
Amen.
So that's so comforting.
It is. Amen, Jean.
It's true.
All right. For me it is.
Oh, yeah. It's so very comforting. We'll call this study to a close then. Mm-hmm. Thank you.